Welcome to House Common Blood, where strangers are family. Every episode contains graphic content, including, but not limited to, copious amounts of blood, unnecessary cursing, death of all ages, be they infants or immortals, fantasy drug use, nudity, mentions of sex, and sound effects of various qualities. We cannot stress enough that this is mature content with adult themes. You have been warned. Be fruitful and become many.
Welcome to House Common Blood. I'm Gray, your demon host. We're a D&D 5e podcast currently playing the adventure Hangman March of Storms. The story follows a group of misfits fighting sentient calamities threatening to destroy the world, led by a Genasi army called the Rebirth Bastion. I am joined here today by my players, Mega.
Hello, I am Mega, and I play Eddie, the Otterboy Triton Bastard class. I also play Eddie and any number of other similarly named characters, including one I have my eye on.
As well as Nita.
Hi there, Nita here. I play Olia Oblak, the human cleric sorcerer.
As well as Rakuzan.
Hello, I'm Rakuzan. I play Mavet Sohafidash, the astral spore druid monk, who is the sap that holds the party together.
And finally, Seer.
Hello, I am playing Seer, the Genasi alchemist artificer that's always on fire and is hated by all.
All right. Who can tell me what the hell happened last session?
Pain.
Everyone, don't go at once. It's all right. Not a race here.
Mavet made an enemy and a friend. He took care of his enemy. Then he made his way with his new friend, which he couldn't see yet, to Eddie's mansion, estate. I think Aluya and Seer got their prisoner to take with them, which was Pesk. Aluya also got information about the criminal organization she was inquiring about. Eddie and his father had a really in-depth and deep conversation. Eddie also, before he spoke with his father, found something on something the artist.
Isloth
the artist. He made some sort of machinery, and he was offering it to James Hayes as a gift and his services for something. Eddie and James talk about some serious shit. Eddie also acquires water steeds? I don't remember the name for them.
Hippocamps.
Hippocamps.
And I think Eddie says goodbye to Valentine? No. And we meet the invisible person that Mavet brought, who is the daughter of a general from...
A very sexy and attractive squid lady.
Yes.
Bax.
General Lyle Laren?
That was her father. Yep.
And changeling Pesk still hates us all, and he went about his business.
Facts.
Even though we saved his ass twice.
I have it written down that you saved his ass twice.
He gets one more shot.
And then we had a beachside goodbye with Valentine.
That too.
I think that's it.
Yes, that sounds very close to what happened last session. The only other thing that we'll touch on, I'll start the session with. So, please roll a 2d10.
Hooray! Monies.
Yes, money.
You can use that to buy more rations, like maybe 100 golds worth.
I maybe 200 golds worth. 10 gold.
Okay.
Love you.
So I guess the way that I kind of want to start off with is The way that I want to start off here is change in the music first. Get me in the mood here. Go with tension and fear.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah, we're already past the circus. I'm not sure if you were here during that time, but
it was a whole thing, a whole city, yeah, even.
it was a whole thing. So how we start the session, God damn it, is I want to imagine pure and utter darkness. We hear the rumble of storm clouds as if we're deep within the clouds itself. And we see flashes of blue light. And we see a still frame of two dragons mid-flight, then darkness again. And we hear a scream from one dragon howling through the clouds, the storm. Again, another flash. We see one maw chomping on the neck of the other, midair, black silhouettes. And finally, we see another lightning dashing in between both of the dragons midair. We see one of blue scales and one completely without scales, pink flesh. The lightning crackles down and strikes a seagull in the air, turning it into a crisp. We see the burnt feathers, the ashes, flowing on the wind. And as we follow those ashes, I want to imagine they eventually, within maybe an hour or so, probably a half an hour, gliding on the wind, reaches the beach where you guys are at. I need to ask the party. We did a lot of housekeeping before the session here. So I kind of want to see a montage of what everyone got. Make it a scene with each one of your characters, whether it's the buying of them, the putting on of the items, or testing of the items. We'll go in order here. We're going to start off with Seer. Seer, what do we see your character doing before the trip?
All right, I'm going to go to Aluia and very much being like, oh, you got yourself new gauntlets? Can I have the old ones?
Thank you for them. I'll pass them along.
You're welcome. Immediately starts crushing them.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Oh, damn.
Turns it into an alchemy jug. I needed my spirits, if this helps understand Aluia.
What does your alchemy jug look like?
It looks, honestly, I want you to imagine a Stanley's thermal cup, but not as colorful. But the difference is that it always has a beaker that on the top that is closed until I turn around a knob that's around the, basically the part where you hold the cup, so you could change what settings are on it. So it's like, I want mayo, twist the setting, pour out mayo. Something like that. So it's very, it wouldn't be like corks and stuff like that. It's very much like dials, since Sierra's very much a dial person.
Okay. I like that. Are you making all of your items? Like, give me the flavor here. And tell me what Sierra's putting on herself, what she's testing out. Like, just give me an overview of everything we see.
Oh, of course. So, as Aluia would witness them just smashing these gloves down and turn to alchemists, jug, you would see them also in the busiest times with a hammer that they converted from their tool, smashing things into their shield and heart armor itself, making sure that it's securely on the shield. You will see what seems to be a button that's in the front of it. It looks yellowish. It looks of that looks clear, and Seer is meticulously careful about it. On the armor, you will see Seer is strengthening and supporting the bolts with these strange screws that don't look normal. It looks like they ripped out the rivets and are replacing it with their own creation to strengthen the armor. And after that, once they have all their things secured and strengthened, you'll see Seer going back to their chemistry thing, but only what seems to be a rather strange thing. It looks like they're about to put a scroll into a acid to break it down so that they can make a possible thing they told you about, Aluia, called a Daunt of Knowledge. So they are going to start creating these vials to learn magic.
Okay. Anything else?
As far as I know, You will also see them incorporating this strange staff that's covered in flowers as they point to this weird dirt pile that you've seen them collect before, making flowers as they shove it into this acid components to break it down further.
Yep. And we see like the plants rapidly grow.
And they have a draconic feel to them.
Oh, hell yeah. I like that. Like we see almost like a scale-like pattern on the leaves.
It's a draconic daisy.
I like that. Mavette, please give me the flavor of like how you came across your item, if you made it yourself. Like, please fill me in.
My wraps?
Yep. All your items as well. I'm actually curious because you're pretty thorough with a lot of the mundane items, and since you made me put it all in your fucking inventory, you're gonna tell me where you found it, how you found it, and how it got into your hands.
So as Mavette was learning how to read, he felt that he also needed to learn how to write. So while searching through the Hayes estate, he carefully went to the back of all the books and stole some of the parchment out of the back of it and replaced it with money so Eddie wouldn't be sad. He also found a vial of ink that seems like it was sitting out for a while, to which he also replaced with some money. So all the things really Mavette has found through the Eddie's estate and has put it money to replace the tools, hoping that Eddie and the Hayes family won't be upset. However, the calligrapher's tools, they were found by a child who was writing, and Mavette liked the way his words were all swirly and things, so he asked the child if he could buy them. And with the calligrapher's tools came a backpack, and as Mavette was getting hungry, he walked past, realized he didn't need to eat, but wait, his party might also want some food, so he went to the nearest shop and asked if he could buy their tools to cook food, to which they agreed because they had some ones that they recently replaced and haven't thrown out yet, so they're kind of yucky, so he'll have to clean those up. And then as he was walking, he found some, it looked just like little streams of cloth just laying in the road, so Mavette picked them up, wrapped them around his hands, and he felt that he could punch harder. And he fit some person hailed him down and was like, wait, those are mine. It's like, well, can I buy them off of you? I seem to be able to have extra power with these. It's like, well, those are my special wraps of unarmed prowess.
You know, I thought you'd really take this opportunity to really like lean into, Eddie's Echo Knight saying like, oh yeah, like they empowered this cloth, but no, we're just saying some random motherfucker lost his wraps in the wind. You picked them up and offered to buy them off of him.
I don't think they were meant for him because they fell off.
Okay, so you stole and bought all this. Okay, go on.
And then Mavette went over to the candle shop and he asked if he could buy some wax for his parchment. And they said, no, we only sell candles. So Mavette proceeded to buy a bunch of candles, smash them down, take out the wicks. And so now he has sealing wax.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that tracks. Anything else?
Oh, a component pouch. Yeah, Mavette saw these. A group of what looks to be young, mature children playing a game of dice, and they were holding it and said the dice in there. So he played a few rounds, learned to play the game with them, to which he ended up losing a fair sum of money. They felt bad for him and gave him the pouch.
Okay. Any other bullshit that you want to pull out of your ass really quick?
No, that's it.
Okay. Nita, please, go into detail if you either testing out these items or if you made them, bought them, go into detail.
Sure. So we are at the shops and this beautiful vial catches Ulia's eye and the shopkeep explains what it is. So she tucks it away in her bag of holding, and she thanks him, and as she's about to leave, she's like, you know what? I could use some rations. Hey there, could I get, 5 rations? So he brings it to her. You know what? No, more. Put more. So he brings out 15. Not enough.
More.
Shopkeep looks nervously at her. Okay. Keep going until I say stop. 40 rations later, she's done.
I think she bought out our entire stock. What about your gauntlets? Those are cool.
Oh, I forgot. Because I kept them in the inventory. Oh, so yeah. So before the rations, she'll pick up the shiny gauntlets missing her muscles. Add these two.
If you don't mind, I kind of want to imagine you bought normal gauntlets. For our case and purposes, you paid the actual price, but I kind of want to imagine, like, you bought regular gauntlets. And what I'm going to explain next, I feel makes sense for your character, because she is, you know, born in a sailor community. You guys are going to take a voyage. There is a thunderstorm that is currently happening, spreading through the sky. I would presume you would pray to your god. Is that correct?
Of course. You gotta have safe passage.
Yeah. Let me hear a little bit of that prayer, like new gauntlets in hand.
Am I swole again?
Not swole yet. We'll get to that swoleness. Let's say you're unswole right now.
She has to cut a piece of her hair again.
Okay. Remind me what her hair looks like. You've been cutting your hair, like, progressively throughout this entire adventure.
Well, I was gonna take a chunk, but Seer took the hit for me.
Yeah.
So it's just a little bit from the bottom underneath every time.
Like, what's the length? Like, what's the length right now?
I still have long hair, but there's, like, a visible streak of hair that's pretty damn short.
Okay. So let me hear this prayer. Putting you on the spot. Pray
to
your
God. I know.
I'm listening.
Oh? Is that you?
God? God, is that you? No, get the fuck out of the way. Why are you praying in the middle of the street?
I give to you an offering, dear Aeolus, to give us safe passage on our journey. May you guide us through the storm.
Yeah. I kind of want to imagine, like, where's the most appropriate location to pray to your god? Like, is there, like, set locations, like, you should pray on a beach, pray on a boat, pray near your mount? Like, where's the appropriate, like, place?
Preferably a beach, but if there's not any, any body of water.
Yeah, I imagine you're on the beach by this body of water, and as you make that prayer. But one more thing, like, what does the prayer look like? Is it, like, two hands clamped together on your knees, or?
No, it's just, as I cut the piece of hair, I let it blow into the wind, and as the strands of hair fly off is how I make my prayer.
Oh, fuck yeah. And we follow the hair as it goes into the clouds. Imagine, like, black clouds and just blue light flickering from a battle far, far away from here, spreading to this island. We see the blue lightning crackling, and as your hair gets sucked within the black clouds, we see the lightning turn from blue to pink, and we see the outline of a bird. Just so I have this correctly, it is an albatross. Is that correct, Luya?
Yes.
Yes, we see, like, the outline of an albatross. And as we see that outline, there's another rumble. More pink electricity curls around the black clouds until it strikes down. And to you, Luya, it is just blinding pink light. And you feel like your hands being shot downwards as the lightning made contact with your gauntlets. And as you look down, I kind of imagine the design for your god, the symbols, the patterns of Cordirosa, embellishing these gauntlets as you now have your gauntlets of ogre strength, blessed by your god.
I'm gonna look at her toned body. Thank God, yeah. I got it back.
God really does love my body. Just out of curiosity, with Cordy Rosa, what do you think the designs on the gauntlet would look like? What would best reflect that city?
Swirls of waves. Somebody drew swirls of waves.
I like that. Yeah, swirls of waves. Do you think there's a symbol of an albatross on each gauntlet?
No, because that's specifically for the clergy.
All right. Yep, I got you. But what symbol do you think would be on it? Or do you think it would just be bland? Just this swirling patterns?
Swirling patterns.
Yeah. I kind of want to imagine if you stare at it long enough, occasionally when there's a lightning strike of blue in the distance, the reflection off your gauntlets look pink.
I'm down with that. I'm down to clown.
Hell yeah. I like that. Your other items. Did you get anything else?
I got my vial, my gauntlets, and a shitload of food. So I'm good.
Okay. Mega, please. Same thing I asked everyone else. Do you think that you personally got your item, made it yourself, bought it from somebody? Give me the details here.
Actually, I think this might be a situation where, because I considered one way this could have happened, but considering the other circumstances, it's I think as Eddie was traveling with the others, because he would have probably, knew a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy, who was looking for and willing to buy the potion of invisibility that was on their party's person. But I think while that was being taken care of, the shopkeeper's oh, by the way, would you like those items on layaway? And being very confused, Eddie would inquire, and they'd respond with, your father left some items on layaway. If you'd like to take care of the debt for that now, and out of curiosity, he would pay a portion of that, with the money acquired, and Eddie would be shocked to find a put on layaway appears to be a magical a three-piece suit and a pair of shoes. The suit itself, which I'll provide a picture for the party in a second, is something sort of like a dark ash gray suit with purple and a violet tie and dress shirt underneath, and the shoes appear to be a nice set of a dress shoes. But they have a wingtip insignias on the sides of them. And as Eddie would come out to find that this suit is a bit more resilient than a normal pair of suit, apparently being very form-fitting and also fire retardant, and way more defensive than standard clothing, and almost as though to replace another item that was originally being infused. The shoes, when he claps his heels, allows him to fly. And Eddie just thinking to himself, well, I guess if I'm gonna have to start taking more responsibility, I might as well look the part. And so Eddie steps out of the dressing area in a three-piece suit and dress shoes.
Alright.
I mean, honestly, it's a nice suit that I think even I would wear.
So, do I look too uptight in this?
I imagine the party reconvenes. You're at the stables, looking onward towards the storm. And that's the icebreaker that Eddie brings up.
In his dapper suit? Eddie, you were looking quite handsome.
Thanks. You mean that platonically, right? Because, Sear's right there.
I'm sorry. Someone can't call you handsome without being a thing? Have you not gotten many compliments? Or is it just from people trying to hit on you?
Well, usually if people are giving me a bunch of compliments, it's either because they're afraid of me, they want drugs, they want sex, or they want money.
Well, can we add we are bros to the list? I mean, can't you look nice and I say you look nice?
Oh, okay, I see what you mean. Then you've got a really rockin' bod that could break me in half.
That is very specific. But yes, I like what is happening to me too.
All right. Just because this needs to be said, Rakuzan, I'm dragging you out to the sunlight here. Because no one else can fucking see that, and it's great. Rakuzan put a meme of what looks to be a log dripping with sap onto the ground like he just got wet from that description. Please go on.
Indeed. More details, please.
No, you know what, Rakuzan, you're the one who broke everything up here. Like, what is Mobvet actually doing as everyone's reconvening here?
Well, after seeing Eddie and Muscle Mommy Aluya come back and reconvene, you just start seeing Mobvet leaking sap.
Sap.
It's a large amount.
How much is a large amount?
Probably like 3 ounces.
Huh. Okay, Eddie. Oh, it's in your ball court.
Oh, that's weird. Eddie just like takes a finger, like collects some of the sap on the finger and licks it.
No.
You know what? It's sweeter than I expected.
Thank you. Sometimes that happens when I'm happy. I don't know what it means.
I mean, like, it's good that you're happy, bruh. Also, Seer, are you like shinier?
I mean, I was welding for a good while putting these rivets in, so if I'm shining, it's probably because I'm on fire. Why do you ask? Looks around, looks at Aluya, looks at Eddie, eye twitch, and then go back.
I mean, like, it's just like, it looks like a lot of your stuff has been, like, enhanced in some way.
I mean, you need to have the best protection for the dirtiest jobs.
Well, it's probably not going to be too dirty, considering we're going to be underwater for a bit.
I'm just preparing because I'm not used to getting wet, okay?
That's a good question. Just to make sure, like, no one's overlooked that. Like, everyone has a way of sustaining themselves underwater for a long period of time. Like, not drowning or dying.
We got the crew. We got it.
I told you my thing, Gray.
Well, I mean, we don't have to worry about you. You don't breathe.
Yeah, but that's like an in-character RP thing. She don't know that yet.
Up. Would anybody actually, I don't remember if I mentioned it last session, but the party does have a way to cover that. If they don't remember, I can mention it. But
I also have ways of doing it, so if they can't do it, I can do it.
Oh no, I was specifically thinking of you in particular.
Oh good, then you remember.
Yeah. If that's not the case, always keep in mind you do have a item that requires attunement, a conch shell they can attach to your neck, or not your neck, your mouth, sorry, and essentially breathe underwater. It just takes an attunement slot.
I could describe the scene of how I'd make so people can breathe.
Yeah, no worries. That's not gonna, well, unless you guys are traveling underwater to get there. Which I will say it would be harder to navigate. I was under the presumption that, like, you guys would be...
Because technically you never really fully described what this pathway that we're taking.
Yes. Like, to put it bluntly, you guys are going to be going to an island that's a handful of miles, 10 miles, like, out from the island. And it should take you about a half day's travel just to get there. Essentially, you guys would be using the islands, or not, yeah. Like tiny islands and rock formations as landmarks as you guys go forward.
Okay, so essentially the air quote pathway that we are taking is above water, but it's essentially taking the most advantage of specific currents and other ideal
hang on. The location you guys are going to is underwater that leads to a vein that spreads across the entire sea. That's the location you guys are heading to, and to get there it's just overhead just to find the specific island. You are correct. You guys will be going underwater when you get to the location, and it will take you to the location where you guys will be underwater for a very long time.
Okay, then, yes, to answer your question, the party does have, in fact, a means of dealing with underwater stuff with or without using something that has an attunement.
Okay, that's good. I just didn't want to blindside anyone and just say, well, psych, motherfucker, you're on a one-way trip, you can't get out, and you're going to drown to death.
Well, yeah, in the back of my head, like, I already knew that we had a means of dealing with it, aside from anything else that people were planning, so...
Yep, good.
It especially works because half the party doesn't need to breathe. Or at least one member doesn't need to breathe, and one already can breathe underwater.
Please, everyone, talk about your steeds. Like, imagine you're at the stable and the beach. Each one has, like, a corral? A holding? Whatever the term is. Like, where the horses are held, and it's, like, in water itself. Like, each one of you guys go over your horse, tell me what it looks like, what color they are, and what their names are.
All right, I'll pull up my long document again. Hold on.
Jesus. Start off with the color before you go on to the name.
I would honestly say their color would be pinkish purple. A very nice, sleek pinkish purple.
Okay.
Now, if I were to give it a name, I will give it a new name. Here we are. Sir Luptus Dimptoe Foodly Bottom.
Okay. I'm going to hold you accountable to that and ask you for it again.
Sure. Sir Luptus Dimptoe Foodly Bottom.
I'm not writing that down.
I will write it down, don't you worry.
Yeah, surprise, I'm not going to write that shit down. All right. What about yours, Nita? Like, what's the name of your mount, and what do they look like?
Clip-Clop. Clip-Clop is adorable. Clip-Clop doesn't look like it has many brain cells. Kind of one eye looks in one direction and the other... different one.
Each one the eyes blinks at different times.
Exactly. And he is a beautiful kind of like a white color that kind of shimmers like silver. And that is okay. Clip-Clop.
My bad. Name of your mount. What color is it?
So Fishy is brown with a green spine of a dark green, such as leaves. And on his neck, it seems like there was an extra hoof forming at one point, so he may have absorbed his brother, and he has a lazy God. Eye.
It's getting
Mega.
Worse!
Mega, did the Hayes family like really cut corners with this fucking stable? Feels
inbreeding.
Like there's a lot of inbreeding going on here. Like, what the fuck?
Well, you know what it is, though? Just like the reason why the Hayes were so generous with these steeds is because they gave the ones that didn't come out properly but didn't want to put in the money to to ethically put down.
Yeah, I like that.
Mauvette loves Fishy, and Fishy loves Mauvette.
So we have two weird horses and a horse with a long name.
Yes. Hang on. We got the final one. Eddie, we heard the name, but just to remind the audience, the name of your horse and what it looks like.
It's like Eddie, for this adventure, will be riding on Seafire. It's like, which, based on that name, I would actually imagine that there is a pretty nice and unique one. The skin itself is sort of like a dark ashen gray, but what's interesting about the air quote mane is that especially underwater, it's kind of like a combination of like a red, orange, and yellow hues, but underwater it's like it appears to like flow around as though its mane is actually on fire, even though obviously it is underwater.
God, this does explain so many of the characters, because like Eddie got like a cool horse. I got a horse and she's like, it's good enough. Lima saw this one and was like, it's cute, I want it. And literally Mauvette was like, you're confident enough. I love you.
Oh my God. This is a train wreck of genetics here. Like, it's not even a family tree, it's a family circle.
Oh. What sound does everyone's horses make?
Yeah, let me hear each one. Fuck it. Go. Let me hear it.
Well, Clip Cluck goes, bleh!
It's a fucking goat! It's a sea goat.
Like I said, they didn't want to put in the money to ethically put them down.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Moo. What does yours sound like? A fucking cow?
I just wanted to imagine it's the one where it's like, it's menacingly staring at people and you're like, it makes a noise. And then suddenly you're like, don't make that noise again. It's like, why? Just don't make that noise again. As it just stares at people intensely.
Yeah, give me the noise.
Very much. It goes looking at people. And then when people go like, make a noise, it just goes like, if I make a noise, you offer me your soul and your children beforehand.
Jesus, it can talk?
That's why you don't ask it to talk again. It's like, nope, I don't want to make it talk. I don't want it to make noise. It's scary.
The stable hand for that particular hippocamp, it's like, was going through a really dark time, and slowly but surely, this hippocamp learned that sentence alone.
That's why people are scared to not call it its name. Sir Loop Twist Dimto Foodle Bottom.
I love these horses. Mavet, what sound does your horse make?
So, Mavet's fishy says, nay.
I like it. And finally, Mega, what does your horse sound like?
I mean, honestly, it's just going to be a standard. Because I imagine that Eddie would have been the one to, again, get the primed hippocamp.
Yeah, the one raised most from likely childhood to survive. Yeah. Oh, fuck it all. Okay.
I'm kind of almost imagining like a... I mean, I don't know why I'm thinking of this specific movie. Quest for Camelot, where it's just like,
this horse's stride, in one day's ride, it will cover more distance than me.
Alright. It's 6 a.m. the next day, crack of dawn. They're just to clarify, like, everything we were talking about happened at 6 o'clock in the morning. We see the thunderstorm. It is, like, eating away at the sky. It feels like night. It should be the crack of dawn, but you don't see any light. It still feels like night. The waves are just insane. Like, there's a lot of riptides going along. It's just unsafe for boats to travel. This is another time to point out, if you guys would have taken Valentine's route, this would have been a complication with your travel. But thankfully, because you guys have a steed and you're only traveling a half day's journey, you guys feel you can safely make it there. And, you know, worst case scenario, you're on a steed that can go underwater or grab you if you are unmounted, dismounted. Is there anything we should cover before the journey starts here? Because we got the steeds, everyone's on it. Any last words before we go with the travel?
Ilya, you will not ask my horse what sound they make. Please do not.
That is fine. I love Clip Clop.
Don't you dare.
Sorry, I didn't
know. We're just hearing in the stable, bleh, don't you dare, nay. And then it...
So, like, I'm gonna recommend that everybody use the bathroom before we go.
Fishy just starts peeing right now.
Oh my god.
Your bathroom fire retardant.
Hey, Fishy is a very smart fish.
Watch your language. just so we're all on the same page, I'm gonna say it once more. You guys are gonna be traveling above water, following landmarks, the islands. It's going to be a half day's journey. And where the location is, I believe I mentioned the channel, but I didn't mention the island it was on. The location you guys are going to is called the Shrine of Ymera. Ymera is known as a titan, essentially. It has the same holiness that would be relevant to a seer as Urgal. essentially not as big as Urgal, but a very large creature that died in years past, centuries past, millennial past. And this is a shrine dedicated to that specific titan. The only disconcerting, besides the storm, the only thing that's really bothering you guys is specifically the lightning. It's acting erratically. Any bird, such as a seagull, flying in the sky, you've seen repeatedly get struck down by lightning, as if you're in the air. It seems you attract the attention of the lightning. Which, again, not to say it's unusual for lightning to strike a bird in the air. What's unusual is the amount of times you've seen it happen. To the point where you can firmly say that as a fact, that this lightning is strange.
Tastes like hallelujah.
Yes.
So, like, does Aeolus have a hate boner for seagulls?
No, that is not the doing of Aeolus.
It's blue lightning, not pink. Yep.
I mean, it just seems like really sentient and like specifically just trying to shoot things.
Agreed. Seems like the birds have angered someone, but it's not my wonderful god.
So then, like, who do you think is pissed?
I'm not sure. But I did a prayer for us.
As you say that, the clap of thunder shakes the ground. And I want to imagine in the background, you see the silhouettes of two dragons fighting in the distance. World may never know. I don't know. I don't see anything angry around here.
I mean, like, honestly, I was, like, honestly waiting for confirmation if that's something we actually see or if that's just something we get the benefit for camera.
No. I'm going to say, like, in the distance, like, if you guys squint your eyes after enough time, you guys would see two strange silhouettes. I mean, I would take it at this point with how many strange phenomenons you guys walked into that if the weather's acting unnatural, that you guys would basically be at the edge of your seats, like, trying to examine what the hell's going wrong. Although it takes, like, perhaps an hour or two, you guys do see in the very far distance, just to speak of how colossal these creatures are, that you can see their silhouettes within the clouds after each shock of blue lightning or each flash.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think it's also good just to mention, as common knowledge, this isn't going to be a one-day affair. Like, you guys have heard of legends where dragons have fought for years. Like, the timeline for how long this will last for, it is just unknown.
Well, I guess it's a good thing we're not in that fight.
Or did we cause that fight?
I mean, I feel like that fight would have been happening regardless of us, but I have a sneaking suspicion that there's technically something we could do to make that fight go a specific direction.
God, it's almost as if you're reading the thoughts of a god, Eddie. Good job. All right. So I was looking through my notes here, and we were all laughing. Laughing that these steeds could speak. It's probably a good time to mention that. Yeah, you know what? Because this one's a bit more uncommon. Remind me, when you guys were talking with Captain Valentine about his vocal cords, there was one person that succeeded, I believe. It was one or two, because I wouldn't have given the name otherwise. So I'll throw this bone at the party as well. The hippocamps are blessed creatures of Minerva as well. And they've been known to also collect vocal cords. So, yes, Seer, you may have been joking about it, but your steed can actually speak, while the other ones in the party just refuse to speak unless it's important.
I don't think you would get a straight answer out of Clip Clop.
No, you wouldn't.
Clip Clop, what's 2 + 2? Purple!
The end is nigh!
It's just funny you brought that up, too.
The JFK assassination was an inside job.
Whoa. Seafire, calm down.
No, horse is the reason why all the other horses are weird.
Yeah,
No, I was suggesting that was what Clip-Clop was. Like, Clip-Clop actually has, like, surprising wisdom when speaking.
Yeah, no, I thought that'd be a good thing to bring up, because that was the thing I would have just foreshadowed, but it's just funny you brought that up with, like, it's an offhand fucking joke. Yes, that is a discovery that you guys have made. That's not a joke. Her mount can speak. Okay. That aside, you guys begin to travel. And as you travel, again, you are seeing lightning in the air, and it's just striking down rapidly. But thankfully, it is not hitting any of you. It doesn't seem interested in anything within the ocean. But again, birds in the air keep exploding in a poof of feathers and turning to ash. As you guys begin to travel, let's go over the first event here. So as you guys begin to travel to, let me change maps, because surprise, surprise, I actually do have a map that I hardly show, even though I put a fucking lot of work into it. I'll make sure to draw everyone's attention over to it.
Please make sure to get images for all the horses for their appropriate personalities besides our one.
You know what? If these horses survive the travel, and they seem like actual mounts that you guys will keep, yes, I will make each one, like, very special. I'll ask for a description of each one. All right. But you guys begin to travel, and just to point to the location that you guys are making yourselves to, it'd be this island right there. So as you guys begin to travel, like I mentioned before, these creatures are servants to a nautical god. And as you guys are going past the rushing waves, like, it's hard to catch your breath. Like, there are moments where you guys have to stop and just, well, actually, no. I guess Seer is the only person who would ever have trouble with a water being splashed on her. Not because of her element, because I don't believe Fire Genasi, like, have anything to deal with breathing, period. Am I correct with that, Seer? Because Mavet, for intents and purposes, is a a warforged. We got an air genasi that doesn't need a breath. We have a triton. Obviously, water doesn't bother him. What about you?
Oh, quite easily. So, Seer, before they went on their trip, looks to Leah and be like, pour a bucket of water on my head first.
What?
And then puts out their hair as they put on a weird swim cap.
Okay.
The swim cap covers their head and then slowly covers their mouth. And due to having this wonderful water cap that is, I would say, and I'm going to read it for you, specifically called the cap of water breathing.
What the fuck?
I basically...
Excuse me?
am very much okay as I'm going through this. And the thing is, too, is that it basically creates an air bubble around my head as I hit the water.
I need a refresher as a fucking DM here. When did you get this water cap?
Fun fact, I actually got this as a treasure way, way, way back. This was a very much a thing I was given.
Curse my old self.
So I have no issues of breathing underwater. It's very much like as the water hits, I have an air bubble that's forever around my head.
This party is weirdly synergized to handle water.
I wonder why, since we started in the water in the campaign.
Yep, facts. I have no one but myself to blame.
So very much Sears being very comfortable. The only thing is that they feel maybe a little bit more cold, because the issue is that while the hair was around, it's like, oh yeah, it's hot. But Sears very much used to that heat. So very much when it's gone now, Sears just very much like, I'm very cold. I hate it. And I can't drink alcohol to bring my hair back. Because I have to keep I don't want to burn the cap off. That's what makes it awkward.
Mm.
So Seer basically has to permanently always make sure their hair is drenched.
Okay. I like that. So with your bald head, you guys are going forward and you do see like the drifting of a couple bloated corpses. The first one appears to be a pale sea elf, and the other two appear to be a male woman.
A male woman.
I had male and female in my head, and I meant to say a male human and a female human.
So what I was going to hear is they're going to introduce a female man.
Yes. Yeah, I'm really trying to be a little PC here and trying to go all across the board here. You know what? No. You know what? Fuck off. You can't tell their genders. Non-binary. So, as you see...
We'll check their pants.
We'll deal with that later. So, from the... Two humans and a sea elf are drifting in the water. They have not been sunken under yet. You do see like the blooming of blood around their bodies, a little bit of red, but it's hard to see with how rapid the tides are, how they're crashing. What I will say is your mounts do approach the corpses and you see them going for each one of the necks. And I'm going to say sea fire and... trying to remember these fucking names here. I'm trying to look for yours really quick.
It's in the notes.
Is it in the notes here? Thank you.
It's in my notes.
Sir looped with dimto foodle bottom, and finally fishy like would be going after the corpses unless you guys do anything, and they would be going straight for the necks.
Are you hungry, buddy?
You see them like tearing out the vocal cords of each one of the creatures. And as they do so, they are dripping their saliva around the vocal cords. And it's almost like a yellowish saliva, and it hardens around the vocal cords like amber. Then they drop it into the water and allow it to sink.
You're a weird one, fishy.
Yep. And you just see them. Well, actually, I'm curious here. What languages people speak. Yeah. Does anyone know Aquan?
I do.
I assume. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's actually very specific. If you know Primordial, you know some things, but if you know the specific language, you know all of it.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to do as a cop-out, was if anyone knew Primordial, which I'm pretty sure the entire party does, that you guys... Most of you would understand bits of it, but it's Aluya who truly understands it. You see each one of your mounts doing a prayer to Minerva. And it goes something along lines of, sing, my beloved, sing. We listen to your call. The siren of the storm shall call for more. Praise be, Minerva. Praise be.
The cook left like, Minerva, we pray. Ice cream.
Just really, really bad game of telephone.
Just really ridiculous.
I pat Fishy and give him a little scratch behind his neck hoof.
I'm going to whisper into Clip Clop's ear. We will work on some things, Clip Clop. I will tell you of a great god, Aeolus, at some point. Don't worry.
No, yours is yours is Clip Clop, right? It'd be
It's bleh.
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 That's what makes it even awkward. That's the prayer. Bleh.
Everybody, every other like hippocamp just looks at them and goes like, it works, whatever.
But that being said, like you guys continue to travel forth. A couple hours pass. I will represent that with the clock here. Oh, not five. Jesus. Nope. 2 hours pass. As 2 hours pass, I need a perception check from everyone.
I'm going to drop you like a bad habit.
Oh, and just so I have this documented, I will mention scrying did happen this morning. I guess the only person I really need to ask is Eddie. Did you go into your room this morning, or did you just allow it to happen?
He still went into his room. If for no other reason, it's just always a good habit to go to his room anyway, just to... tidy things up and take care of some shroom business.
Yeah, and everyone else was flaunting around in town. Did happen around the time you guys were shopping, and I'm fairly certain I asked everyone, and it went something along the lines of either flicking it off or not giving a shit. Okay. Sorry, I'm making writing down notes here. Would anyone like to, is there any bullshit before I continue? Anything being added to any rolls? Like, Aluya, you can add your guidance if you so desire with 1d4. It's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine.
16.
Okay. So, before I get to you, Eddie, because I had two thresholds for this this check, and three people got the first threshold, and you got the second one. For the first threshold, I'm going to mention to everyone that... not everyone. Everyone besides... Mavet? Hang on. No, Mavet got it. Seer, yeah. Everyone besides Seer will notice that there are silhouettes, black silhouettes, of people walking on the surface of the water besides you guys. Just walking past, walking forward, you see the glimmer of silhouettes. Towards you, Eddie, you notice a silhouette, and you also notice that one of them is keeping pace with you guys, while others are either lagging behind, going ahead. There is one silhouette in particular that is following you guys. Beyond that, I got a little bit more information for you, Eddie, but I'm just curious if you guys say if you say anything to the party, or if you have any actions you'd like to do before I move on to the second part of this.
Okay. Hey, just like, anyone else notice that one of those is kind of following us?
Yeah, but I figured it was like a cloud or something. Should we investigate, be worried, or just ignore?
You know what? I think I'll just try to talk to it.
Okay. So you go up to the silhouette and you attempt to speak to it?
I mean, like, how far away is it actually?
I'm going to say a good like 40, 50 feet, but all of them are walking as if they're walking on a road. Like, you see that there is a certain section that these silhouettes are sticking to in a straight line.
All right, then specifically to the one that seems to be, like, drawn to us, it's like Eddie's actually going to see how it responds to a message.
Oh, excuse me while I look up the message spell for very specific information here. Hang on. I want to see if this will actually work. Let's see. You attempt to cast the message cantrip, and it fails. I can confidently tell you that.
All right, looks like it's not like a person. Maybe it's a stand-in for somebody else. Just like keep an eye on it, I guess, in case it does something weird.
But I do need to hear, like, from you, Mega. Did you attempt to approach it? Were you still, like, trying to act nonchalant? Like, let me hear a little bit about this.
I would say Eddie will attempt to approach it.
Okay.
Because if left to its own devices, especially if it's harmful and like potentially like planning something, or like the thing that it's that's operating through it is planning something, better to not give it much time to do that.
Okay. You begin to approach it, and do you get within 5 feet of it, or like do you have a bit of distance?
He'll keep to around like 10 or 15, just like, and like start saying like, "Hey, do you like need something?"
It's so hard to describe this because, again, it's like a silhouette. Imagine like an actual shadow, and it's hard to describe like the movements of the body. For our case and purposes, just imagine it like almost a 3D, like a shadow, just completely black. And as you, not even as you say that, but as you approach, you see the head like looking towards you. And as you're facing towards it, it stops, then moves forward and attempts to move back. Are you following its movements?
He's keeping an eye on its movement.
Okay, you're keeping an eye, so you're tracking along, moving towards it. I'd say with your passive insight, you see that it is shocked, even from the body language alone, even though it is pure black, and you see it disappear. But it does not respond back to you.
Well, bye, I guess.
Bye, I guess.
I think I confused whoever was on the other line. I think it's kind of the equivalent of somebody on your shell phone, like asking if your refrigerator's running, and then you respond, it's like, yeah, and I've been trying to catch it all day.
Hopefully, if they continue to follow us, we'll know more answers. But if not, then I think we just dealt with a weird thing.
Well, I can offer one check to add a bit of clarity here, because to be truthful, I'm not going to remember to fully answer why that cantrip failed or what exactly is happening here. So I guess I'll offer two different types of checks here. I believe, let me look at the skills quick, because I got two important bits, but I need to figure out which one's appropriate here. I believe, I guess a history or I want to say investigation, but nature seems more appropriate here. I can offer a history or a nature check. And it's in relation to the phenomenon. Whether you guys know, from the phenomenon itself, what's happening here, or the path these things are walking, if you guys understand where they currently are, or what is truly happening here. So I'll request the rolls here.
I ripped this from the playtest, but I've been using it personally because I think it's actually been helpful for me.
Yep. Give me. Num, num, num. For the audience, Mega gave me a little chart for areas of knowledge in relation with the checks. And that is almost perfect. Yeah, it aligns with what I want. Perfect. Well, actually, no, it doesn't. Let me retract that, because that's what I was confused about, whether to make it nature or arcane. So it'd be arcane and history. Apologies. I'll send out one more check here. Exit out of the first pop-up that you guys got. Thank you, Mega.
Yeah, I remember just maybe he actually hasn't seen this part of the playtest, but I've been using it ever since it was out because it's been very helpful.
Yes, I like that. I like that a lot, and it really did impact my decision here. Because I was trying to figure out a bit of information that I couldn't ask for, or else I'd give it away. Okay, we got 4 from Mavet. Wow, Jesus, my man, you are rolling hot today.
Yeah, because that's...
Oh my god.
Oh wait, did I roll a natural 19 and then...
Yeah, that was impressive as shit. Along with Seer. Ooh, this is going to be excellent. Okay. I believe that's Mavet, Eddie, Seer. Luya, I don't believe I saw your roll, unless I'm mistaken.
I didn't. This is for the silhouettes, right?
Yes, the silhouettes that are walking on the water.
Yeah, if Eddie didn't make it seem like it was an issue, she blocks it from herself.
Yep. I got you. These roles seem sufficient for what I have in mind, and since you guys covered both areas, Arcana and History, I can give you guys the full truth of what's happening here. Alright, so let's start off with Seer, because this will provide a foundation for what I'm going to say next. Seer, you're familiar with the planes of existence within this world. There is one plane, or a phenomenon that you're familiar with. Perhaps you studied it, or... perhaps you were studying the culture of another species, but this plane of existence that you know of is called the Unseen Public. It is a weird, transient dimension that's in between reality and other planes of existence. You know, predominantly, especially with the banishment spell that you casted on Pascal so long ago, that changelings are... that is their native plane. That is where they come from, the Unseen Public. Towards you, Eddie, the history aspect of this, you more than likely, it makes sense that you might know this just because of your parents and their underhanded dealings or shady dealings. Perhaps they've talked to a changeling at one point or made a deal with them. You are familiar that within the Unseen Public, unlike what you guys see before you, where there are wide swaths of water and ocean, in the Unseen Public, there are bridges in between the islands that the changelings use to walk. And pairing that all together, you can only assume that a changeling has taken an interest in the party and was stalking you.
Oh my god, it's him.
It's like It's like, I wonder if there's a changeling that would be very interested in this party's movements and machinations. If only we could think of somebody who would have such interest in us. I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, we'll never know. Yeah, but I'm very happy to bring this up again. It's been a hell of a long time since we talked about the Unseen Public, but it's back, baby. It's back. All right. Wow, that was a lot of information there. And I hope I made that ruling right with the message. I assume that it can't go in between.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, no, they're in a completely different plane of existence. There's literally no way for the message to get there.
Yes, that's why I wanted to make sure of. That's why I double check. All right, that aside, you guys are aware of that. Hint, hint, wink, wink. There might have been a third way of traveling around here, and that would have been the way. Is bridges in between the islands by ship and by horse through the Genasi channels. That aside, you guys have found what looks to be the fastest route. I guess I'll move on to the next event here. Again, letting perception rules ride here. Mega. I would say Eddie might have to blink a couple times, maybe rub his eyes, not believing what he's seen. But you see a very ramshackle raft that's tied together with hopes and dreams out in the distance that is that is riding the tides, the waves, and looks like it will it will fall apart in any second.
Does it happen to be boarded by a brown-haired boy, a red-haired girl, and a white-haired boy that were woefully unprepared for their extra island adventure?
What you see, squinting your eyes, unless you guys like make a little detour here, it looks like there are three creatures on it. Two of them appear to be white, one appears to be brown, but they're so far away that it's just hard to see. You just know it's a raft, though. It does not look like a ship.
Hey, so like, I'm not the only one seeing that, right?
I mean, if I squint really hard, it looks like little dots are on it, like white and brown.
Well, the big thing is we would need to investigate a little bit closer, but sounds like an intriguing sight to behold.
Let me retract what I said earlier. Brown fur and two with black fur with what looks to be like a rainbowish fire?
Definitely something that would intrigue us all.
So, like, just in general, I, like, try to be a good bro on the seas, and it looks like that raft might break apart any second.
Let's assist.
You hear on the wind, King! 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 You guys approach, make your detour.
Yeah, they might be... Yeah, they might be delirious. We better get to them as soon as possible.
I'll fix their delirium, but let's keep going. Might as well.
I'm going to say that it will, again, with how far you guys have to go off, this perhaps will take 30 minutes, I can confidently say. 15 minutes out, 15 minutes back on track. We'll count it as is. I'll do the other 15 when you guys get back on track. You guys get closer. And it's hard to hear from the whipping winds and the crackling lightning, but you hear someone denouncing the gods on this raft. As you come closer, I imagine you guys hear the voice before you see the creature itself. But you see on, like, hanging onto the mast, like a monkey. One arm hugging around it, one leg, hefting him up, probably a good 4 or 5 feet off the ground. You see the creature shaking its hand towards the crowd, clouds as it says, "You will not stop me! I will be king of the managers! It will be mine!" As you see Ratok, the rat that you sent towards your island, along with his two wolves, on a raft that is perilously close to sinking.
Well, you got this. Looks to Eddie.
Gods be damned!
Hey, you doing okay, bruh?
Looks down, says, "Yes, Eddie, I'm doing quite fine." Looks back at the sky. "You will not stop me!" Then, as he's wiggling his hand, it stops. He looks back down again, back at the sky, back down again, and goes, Eddie!
Dan, how did you get here so quickly already?
I traveled day and night. You said it would take me 2 weeks. Oh, no. No, Rat Talk. He is a good worker. He shall be king. I made it in half the time, damn you. Half the time!
And so you made, I'm assuming, the raft in also half the time?
Yes, a king must be resourceful to his subjects, yes. I made the raft in defiance of the gods. Nothing will stop me.
Well, for what it's worth, we just came from the direction of the island, so I guess you're almost there.
What? No, the island's that way! And he's pointing to the west when he should be pointing to the east.
Actually, this is a situation where, like, Eddie appears in a puff of smoke and just slowly, like, turns the direction of the hand. And...
just to really set things home here, if you guys would have ignored him, he would have been so off course that there would have been a chance you would have seen him at the Capitol. Depending on how long you guys stay there. But he just blinks his eyes a couple times. Bing, bing. Oh, there it is. My island. My subjects. My workers. And you see, like, as salt water splashing in his face, matting his fur, you see a tear, like, caress his cheek.
I am home.
Yes! Wilfred! Buford! Ahoy! That way! And you just see the dogs with their muzzles just biting at a rope, moving the sail. And a little bit of wind catches at the sail as he is riding it Jack Sparrow style on the mast as he is trying to make his way towards the island. One more thing. He is excited to leave. He did not say goodbye. He is attempting to steer the raft towards there, but you are confident that the ship will not last in this weather.
Hey, bruh, do you need, like, repairs done or something?
No, no, no! I am certain that this raft shall last. He is very confident in himself. You know otherwise. So close!
If I may... I know when it was called. Thank you.
Hey, how about... I don't think he's actually gonna ask, so, like, I'm just gonna distract him with conversation for a few minutes, and you just do what needs to be done.
No, not even a stealth check is needed. Again, middle of a storm. Island is prize in front of him, and idle conversation is more than enough to sufficiently distract him.
Proceeds to just fix it and even strengthen it by using the combination of mending as well as a combination of other things that I could just smack it with, hammers,
okay,
fixing it with parts.
Here's what I'm going to need from you.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to keep mending in mind here. I'm going to offer you a sleight of hand check, and I want you to do that with intelligence because it is dealing with the rigging, the knots, the rope. You are essentially just securing them so it doesn't fall apart. But the mending does help. You will be making this at advantage. But here's the caveat. You see in the chat where it says public roll?
Oh, yeah.
I want you to change it to blind GM. Then after this adventure, or this particular adventure, I will mention how this goes.
All right, then you have to give
up. So even we won't know the result.
Then the only thing that would know the reaction, you have to reenact what it would sound like from Clip Clop.
Yeah.
If you see the roll, you have to make the noise of what Clip Clop would make if they saw the roll.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have them make the roll. It's with the bandage, though. You used mending. You happen to have a cantrip, and I'm going to reward you for it.
Beautiful. Then I'm ready to roll.
Make sure it's set to blind GM, then I will send you the roll. Okay. Change it from dexterity to intelligence. And if you happen to have guidance, you may use guidance.
I do not, but I'm just going to go for it. And just for shits and giggles, I will also do a flash of genius on top of that.
I will write down the result. If you want, I I'll give you guidance, if not from someone in the party, like Aluya assisting. I mean, she's a sailor.
Her. I can't touch Seer or people in the water right now.
You don't need to touch. You don't need to touch someone with guidance. What?
No, actually, you do.
I thought it was touch. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm thinking about a cleric. My bad. I'm thinking about a cleric.
Yeah, that's why I've been. That's why I've been getting on her ass if she's been guidancing people, because I think it's funny when she shocks people.
Then we're gonna say no guidance in this case. It should be sufficient enough.
Okay. Let me write down a note.
Proceeds to roll two nat ones without her knowledge.
King of managers. And now, you said plus seven?
Plus six. Plus six from the, I would say, flash of genius. So my roll, advantage, and then plus six. Now I need to hear what Clip-Clop would react.
Clip-Clop gives a resounding bleh.
Bleh. Another doomed soul from Nova. That's what you hear in Aquan.
But I will...
Keep in mind, and I really need to stress this out, regardless if you did really well or really bad, these creatures are seeking the death of most people that go into the ocean. That is their hope, that people drown. So regardless if you do really good or really bad, that would be his response to it. Just like another soul. Go ahead.
Since you say another soul, what does Clip-Clop really say, Aluya?
You hear the sound effect.
Mm-hmm. And then what you'll get is the rain brings only but the green arrows.
Oh, shit. I just love our steeds being ominous as shit, like 24/7.
Don't worry, Eddie. I shall sail and become king of the managers. Nothing shall stop me. No god, no water, no lightning.
And you just see a flash of thunder. Poof! See, you hear thunder and the flash of lightning.
Yeah, maybe don't be so loud about that.
They are afraid of me, Eddie. They can't stop a king.
And you just see a seagull that is flying overhead, like shocked with lightning. Pink light, or not pink, blue lightning, and explodes with feathers and ash.
Ha! You missed.
Hey, just random question. You weren't eating anything in the sea, right?
Ah, Well, you must know, I did partake in a fish. Yes, it was most delectable.
So, well, I hope you like the ocean.
Yep. For your knowledge, he cannot leave anywhere in Lochis now. And one day he will return to the sea. But for now, he's going to enjoy his delusions on your island. As he has broken a card or an axiomata of Lochis.
So, well, I guess I did forget to say one thing before he...
He can only do so much to save his life. He is bound for his fate. But,
Well, you know, yes. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't tell him to not eat.
He can lead a horse to water, but he can't stop it from drowning. But yes, as you guys wave off Ratak... and continue on your adventure, I will say that you come across something. You guys come across a graveyard of ships. You see them impaled by sharp rocks. And there are countless corpses floating within the water. One boat in particular is turned over. And looking at the wreckage, you identify a variety of corpses wearing the same outfit. I would say it's white, gold, and red, like for the most part, with the mark of Giuliano on either stitched on to their tunics, shirts, or even like in some cases they have a sword or a shield with a mark on it. But as you look at the sea elves, you see Triton spears in hand floating on the crashing waves. And again, lightning is flashing within the sky. For your guys' benefit, I'm going to say, first of all, 15 minutes move forward as you guys get back on track, and this happens another hour into the adventure. So it's you guys started your adventure at 6. It is approaching 10 o'clock. Mavette, Aluya, take the reins. Do you guys investigate the area, or do you guys move past it?
If it's all right with Mavette, could we check and see what might have caused this?
Absolutely, you can. You guys want to investigate the wreckage here. All right, make me the rolls and tell me how much you guys get.
Got a 0.
Oh my god, 15. All right, I won't go too far into detail about the conflict. I mentioned it before. The broad and narrow strokes of it is, you know. So what you're familiar with is there's currently a war going on, a great war. Every major faction is involved with it. And from what you understand is the Revenant Triad, that includes Jewel Riano here. You see the Yanti and weirdly enough dwarfs, part of the corpses that came from the ships. They are participating with this war along in that side. Towards the dead sea elves, you only see sea elves, but you know they're part of the Primeval Alliance. It looks like this was a scuffle, or at least an ambush by the looks of the hulls, as it appears damage was done to try to sink these ships as they were sailing, presumably towards the capital. And looking at the wreckage, you see that there are trident and spear wounds on the dwarves, Yanti, and humans. While with the elves, it is a mishmash of arrows that are embedded within them, slash marks if they made it on deck, or even just completely torn apart from cannon fire. Let me talk about the strange part, though. You see what could only be described as a wound from a spear, if not a lance, embedded onto a group of sea elves that are washed on a rocky surface, like a rocky protrusion in the water. Examining the corpses, it doesn't look like these ones were participating in the fight. You don't see their weapons at the ready. You don't see them anywhere near the ships itself. This looks like a possibly scouting, if not a checkup of another squad on how the battle was doing. And it looks like they were brutally and efficiently murdered by what you do not know.
So are we in, like, the middle of the ocean right now still?
Yeah. You're traveling in between islands. You know that you only have a few more hours until you reach your location. You guys are over halfway there.
Would Mavette be able to gauge the depth of how deep this goes, this area, since there's rocky protrusions?
Yeah. If you begin to go downward, you will find like a sunken ship, and it looks like this was a bit of a reef by the looks of it. And you see that the bottom of this area in particular goes down about, I would say, 150 to 200 feet before you reach the floor.
And at the floor, can I check out that ship that's down there and some of the coral?
Yes, you check at the ship. And as you approach it, you just see that your steed is going crazy. It is just going crazy, and it is fighting against you to get closer.
Then I will tell him to wait where he is, and I will just walk along the bottom towards the ship.
Do you speak primordial, or do you speak Aquan?
I have speak with animals. I can cast as a ritual, so I'll just add 10 minutes to me casting that as a ritual.
Yes, you should be able to do that underwater. I don't believe there's anything stopping you from doing so.
It's verbal and somatic, but I don't need to breathe, so...
Let me double check that. I don't assume that there's an issue with verbal spells working underwater, because it's, in fact, I'm still not sure if the components of the spell truly matter with a ritual casting, but still I should.
Jeremy Crawford says you can cast verbal spells underwater as long as you can breathe underwater.
Yeah, that sounds appropriate.
Question, are we underwater or are we just riding on...
He said he is going underwater. If you want to follow, you can follow. Would you like to follow?
No, because Aluya doesn't think that she can breathe underwater, so she's staying up top.
Okay, that aside, you cast Speak with Animals and talk to your steed.
Fishy, if you are scared of this ship, would you wait here for me and I will check it out?
I am cautious. There are bodies that move within.
Well, if I get into trouble, I'll try to make some sound. Maybe you could hear it, and then you could alert Aluya up top.
One more time. So the idea is if you're in trouble, he's going to dash towards the surface and alert Aluya?
Yeah, alert clip-clop, which would communicate with Aluya. Oh, wait, she speaks Aquan, so it's fine.
Yeah, you're fine. That can totally happen. How do you interact with the ship? It is turned upside down and doesn't seem like there is a easy way. It doesn't look like there's an opening to go inside of the ship. What do you do?
Can I attempt to punch a hole in it?
Yes. Let me double check something. All right. Do you have a swimming speed?
No.
If that's the case, I'm going to have you make that attack at disadvantage. Because from what I understand, melee weapon attacks, a creature that doesn't have a swimming speed has disadvantage on attack roll unless the weapon is dagger, javelin, sword, spear, or trident. Essentially things that could easily go underwater. You do so. Let me see the damage. I have a AC and HP in mind. Okay, with 9 damage, we see like a lot of splintered wood, but nothing gives way yet.
No tiny holes yet?
It just seems like the wood's splintered.
I will do it again.
Yep. I'm going to say 5 minutes have passed. Yep. Let's see the damage. Okay. Almost making a hole. Another 5 minutes have passed. Please go again.
So, Mavet's trying to break a hole in the ship?
Into the hole, yes. Yep.
Did I hit it with a 10?
No. And I think the way I want to represent that is your stance was off. You just didn't do any damage to it. Obviously, you're not going to miss a ship. Mm-hmm. Another 5 minutes pass. Aluya, he's been gone for 15 minutes.
Is he 180 feet from me?
Yes, he is. Well, way farther than that. I believe I said about 200, didn't I? Unless I'm changing the numbers here, I believe like I gave, yeah, a range between 150 to 200. If he's on the floor, it would be 200.
Okay. Yeah.
20 minutes have gone by. Okay. Yeah. Let me, before you go on, Mavet, let me see like, Leah, what do you have in mind here?
I'm gonna use my message, but I will use a sorcery point to make it a distance spell to double the range.
It's just creature within range, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Let me hear it. Please spend the sorcery point.
Mavet, it's been quite some time. Are you okay?
Yes, I am doing great. I found a ship down here. And Fishy said there seems to be alive things in it. So I am trying to get into it to help or find some stuff.
All right, I'm going to check back in a little bit, okay?
Okay, I have told Fishy to come up if he senses I'm in trouble.
Okay, good stuff. Good to hear. Be safe. Aeolus guide you.
And after that, Mavet's going to make another strike.
All right, let's see the damage. Wow. You finally do it. The boards crack in and water begins to gush in there. And you see bloated corpses of sea elves and humans. And besides them, you see what looks to be, lightning genasi of both races. Appears to be elves and humans in nature or in form. But you see the water gushing in, knocks all of them onto their feet.
I'm going to rush in real quick, and then use shape water to freeze a cube of water to cover the hole.
Yeah, Well, so you rush in, then cover the exit behind you?
Yeah, because I don't want them to drown.
You do so.
Sea elves and what?
Sea elves and humans. And let me be very specific about that. It looks like their corpses were risen and their counterpart, Genasi, are risen in the form of a storm Genasi like yourself. So imagine two of each, Anita. So if there's one dead sea elf, there is a risen corpse of a sea elf and a counterpart that is a storm Genasi.
And do they say anything?
There was a rush of water, then a sudden cube. And as they all look at you, I imagine that they're cowering in the corners, watching you, much like how a wolf among sheep walks into a herd. They're afraid of you.
There is no need to be afraid. Do you need assistance?
Looking towards each other, one speaks up. Can you help us?
I have some rules. I have a friend named Eddie. No harm can come to him or his friends, and I am one of his friends. So perhaps I can help you.
Yep. See them speaking amongst themselves, and you hear Eddie, 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 Eddie. It just doesn't seem like it rings with any recognition. If we do not hurt this Eddie, you will release us, yes?
I will try. How do I release you?
Looks towards the ice that's blocking the hole in the hull. Remove the ice. We shall swim to the surface.
Are there any shiny things within this vessel?
There are, and I was going to mention that as you guys have been investigating all of these places. First of all, Seer, or not Seer, Aluya, you would find a treasure chest full of treasure. It is heavy as shit. It will slow down your progress to the next island if you decide to take it. But looking into it, you see about 12,000 gold pieces worth of jewelry and shiny objects. No, nothing magical. It just seems like a general treasure that was confiscated.
And us having bags of holding wouldn't be able to carry it?
I would have to look at how much the bag of holding can hold, because this is going to be about 300 pounds.
Okay. Well,
if it can hold 300 pounds and a chest-sized object, then you can do so.
I think it's 10 foot by 10 foot. And I would argue my investigation would be for the upstairs ship, since this is a new ship I found.
Mm-hmm. For you,
asking them if they have any shiny things down here.
Yeah. As you look around, you do see like some of the spoils are spilt out of containers. But for you, Mavet, I would say that you find 250 gold pieces worth of jewelry itself. But that's going to weigh you about 25 pounds.
I can put that in my backpack.
Yep. Make sure you write it down as an object, please.
Before I undo the blockage, would you guys be able to tell me what happened for you to come down all the way down here?
They look to each other. We do not know. We woke up in here. And you see one of them biting their lips.
I think we were born here, brother. Born is a better word.
Okay. Well, I think you need to meet my friend Eddie. So I will help you guys up to the top.
Yeah. Just for your knowledge, Mavet, whether as the character or as a player, when a Genasi is born, if it retains its undead side, they tend to lose a part of themselves, their memories. And in this specific case, it appears all of them died during the shipwreck and were born again.
Okay, so my bag can hold about 500 pounds.
Okay.
And it's 64 cubic feet.
Okay. Do you have anything in the bag before we add to it?
I do, but Mavet should not have too many things that are too heavy.
Okay.
Somebody has another bag of holding. There's three of us in total that have it.
Yeah. We can discuss this with the entire party together. Don't worry about it. We'll just make notes of it if...
Okay.
Yeah. If people are together here. But, yeah. You got... So you're bringing all these Genasi to the water surface?
Yeah. And I told them I would help them out. I get on Fishy and tell them to follow me. Can they swim?
They can't swim, but they can. So They don't have a swimming speed, but they can swim.
I'll go ahead and tell Fishy to help them.
Yeah. So, Aluya, from your point of view, if you look at the water, deep within the darkness, and again, the storm, the raging tides, deep within the darkness, you just see, like, small blots of flashing light. And it goes from 1 to 2 to 3, 5, 10, 15, until you just see a stream of color underneath the water. What do you do?
Message Mavette again. Mavette, there are twinkling lights in the water. Is that you? Are you okay?
I found some possible friends. I think we're good. I want them to meet Eddie. They know not to hurt Eddie.
Just Eddie or, like, everybody were cool?
Everybody is cool.
Okay. Also, I found a shit ton of goodies, so we are ready to rock and roll. You know what I mean?
No.
Excellent.
Do you even know what you mean?
We're going to take a rock and roll it. It's going to be smooth sailing.
Yep. There you go. I like that. And I kind of want to imagine, because I feel like that's a good spot to end on, is the camera is... has an aerial shot of the black water. We see the flashing lights, and I think we cut to black as we hear like a group of people surfacing, splash of water, and a long gasp. And I think we'll end it there for today. Thank you guys so much for playing with us.
This has been House Common Blood. The intro and outro music is Oh My Dog by Savick, and any other music and sound effects used in this episode are royalty free. Credits can be found in the episode description. Please review us on whatever podcast listening app you happen to be using. And if you like us, tell other people. Word of mouth is the best way for us to grow. Thank you for joining us. Where is the fire?